Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap, a podcast about the Chicago Bears presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow my co-host, Gwen, at BuckusStats. A football game was played today. Football game was not won. Bears lose another one. 41-10. Again, another great start. Came out of the gates, get a touchdown on the opening drive. My guy, Cole Kmet, we talked about it. Cole Kmet was going to have a decent game. Didn't get all 50, but got a touchdown. But outside of that first quarter, the Bears didn't really even get off the bus. Quentin, where you at on this one today?
Just brutal, man. Just utterly brutal. I mean, they got nothing. They got nothing on offense. They got nothing on defense. They're just playing out the last, you know, eight quarters of the season, trying to get to that draft pick. Like, it sucked to watch that game. I had a hard time actually paying attention to it, which is not, you know, where you want to be as a fan. I mean, like you said, they opened the game fine with a lot of really Justin Fields runs. That's really where the yards came from, was the runs.
They had 105 yards in that first quarter.
Yeah. But outside of that, I mean, it's clear that they can't protect for him when passing. Everything needs to be play action if you're going to pass. And when you're trailing, that's not really a viable option. And the receivers are just not getting the job done. This group, I mean, it's what Claypool only played like four snaps in the first half. I don't know what his final snap count was, but he was barely on the field. So he still wasn't right. They tried to bring him back early. I mean, he had one target. Pringle had four targets. Valus had one. Pettis had one before he got a concussion. Keel Harry had one. St. Brown had three. I mean, he's throwing a bunch of practice squad players. And they're not getting open. They're not executing the routes well. Like that ball that was the interception, go back and look at that play. Like, really look at it, and you'll see they're running a man-beater concept with, you know, what was it, like 10 seconds left in the half of – like, why would the Lions be running man coverage there? Why would they not just be fencing off, like, the field, the field goal range with zone coverage? And they dropped 11 guys in coverage. They didn't bring a single guy at Fields. And so you're playing 5-on-11 running a man beater when they got 11 guys in zone coverage. Like, it's just perplexing. Like, I just don't get it. And, I mean, you know, I didn't want the Bears to win today. I think I've made that clear. You know, I want the number one draft pick if we can get it. But
the Texans do not
mean it's fun to watch.
No, you know? And the Texans didn't necessarily do their part. And you know what? I think it's funny that you bring that up as I look at my microphone and it's not plugged in. So if you guys can't hear me, I'm sorry. I'm technologically ill. I'm sure you can. I got an in-house mic on the laptop. But I was sitting there thinking to myself, bro, like, at least we play exciting games. But this was very early. This was like 14-10, like, okay, the game just started. It's like every drive has been a score and every play has been a first down. And then, like, we just stopped doing anything at all. Like, couldn't move the ball, couldn't catch the ball, couldn't tackle, couldn't get off the fucking field. The defense is arguably the worst defense that I've seen in 28 years of watching football, and it gets worse every time I watch them. And, yeah, it's hard to find the positives in a game like this, man. You really just –
outside of the draft pick, there are no positives in this game. Like,
yeah.
I mean, hell, even – I mean, Justin Fields got banged up more. That's great, you know? Like,
well, yeah, they had to work on him after, like, every single drive.
I mean, this was the worst loss since last year. They lost by 35 to Tampa. But before that, next worst loss was 2014. I mean, the Bears have only lost games by 31 or more points 25 times now in their since the merger. So that's since, 1970?
Yeah. Like,
It's not a great place to be, but I mean, it's kind of what we know. If it's not Justin Fields just making everything happen, this team is not equipped to hang with a team that is even a borderline playoff team.
Yeah, and that's what the Lions are. They get to 8-8 on the season, correct? They're 8-8 now, and they got one game left with an opportunity to maybe make something happen towards the playoffs. But we got no help. The Texans, if there was another team this week that didn't get off the bus, it was them, similar to us. And they didn't even stand a fucking chance against the Jaguars. And the Jaguars are a team that, similar to us, young quarterback, just actually spent the money and put the players around Trevor Lawrence. And now you see what happens. They have an opportunity to go to the playoffs by winning next week against the Titans. So it's unfortunate.
And to be clear, I never really thought the Texans had a real shot against the Jags. Like, I had two units on the Jags minus four. But next week is where we get the tank off of the Colts and the Texans. That's where we hope to see the Texans win. Like, ESPN right now gives the Texans a 66% chance of winning against the Colts next week.
Yeah, I had one system play, and that was Giants minus 5.5, and that system is find Jeff Saturday and fade Jeff Saturday, and it worked. So
unless it's Saturday.
Yeah, unless it's Saturday, but and then they'll cover but still lose, but
what that creates if the Texans beat the Colts, like the Colts have incentive to lose this game because it gets the Texans out of the number one pick. And then the Colts, whoever their number one quarterback is, whether it be Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, it could be either after last night because both guys look great. They can move up to number one, the Colts, to go get that quarterback now. If the Texans have the pick, the odds of them moving up to get that guy is slim to none because the Texans need a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they have a lot of the Colts have a lot of incentive to lose that game. And, I mean, the Texans probably do too, but I just don't trust Lovie Smith I just don't think Lovie Smith's a guy who's going to go out and actively do that. And I think Jim Irsay is an owner who will.
I don't want to know what Jim Irsay is doing right now because that's probably not something I'd be doing. But
yeah,
yeah. I think one thing that we've talked about with this season is like, for me at least, I know, like, not get up on Sunday, but just get ready to watch football. I know we're probably not going to win, and I've removed all emotion from these games to where it's just like three things are going to happen on Sunday. Bears are going to play. Justin Fields is going to make a handful of plays. And then at the end of the day, we're going to lose. And the fourth thing, we're going to come here and we're going to talk about it after. But that's really just like the insane part about this season by definition. Well, I guess we're not insane because we know we're going to lose every week. So I guess we're not expecting different results. But you get what I'm saying. It's just like, dude, we're not doing anything good. We are not keeping many of these players. Like, as the weeks go on, the list of guys that aren't getting pink slips in their locker is getting slimmer and slimmer. And we're one game away. That's why I put it in my name. It's almost over. The ugliest season, honestly, in my life, as far as I can remember as a Bears fan, because at least we were this bad when I was younger, I wasn't as conscious as to what's going on. This is fucking awful all across the board. It's tough to watch. We play at home next week. I don't understand how anyone in their right mind would pay. Like, you'd have to be giving me a Bears ticket to go to a Bears game at this point. And the weather is getting better, too. So,
let's see. Curious what those tickets are going for.
Yeah, it's like, do the right thing. $20 is too much. $20 is $19 too much.
Tickets as low as $35.
Okay. At least they're not.
I'm sure that'll go down closer to the game. Like, once we get to, like, the day before the game, it'll probably be, like, $5. I think that's the way it was for the Buffalo game.
Yeah, no, at least they're not being scumbags about ticket prices. But it's just frustrating. And we saw a couple of the guys this past weekend with the college football playoff that could be impact players, and we talked about it on the pregame show, dude. Quentin Johnson, your namesake.
Yeah.
Maybe not your brother, but a fellow Texas man, very good at catching the football. So he had over 100 yards, made great plays.
He had almost 200.
Yeah, I was going to say he had a lot. But I know he found the end zone. He did his thing out there yesterday, and I don't need to see anything else. That's the receiver I want on my team. And I know every time we
log on. Six catches, 163 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, I need that on my team. Every week when we log on to Twitter.com, Bears fans are screaming for another man to be the new Bears wide receiver. Quentin Johnson is him. And, you know, you talk about our receivers earlier today, right? Claypool, the biggest mystery of this Bears season. Is he hurt? Is he dumb? Does he not know the playbook? Did he not get a degree from Notre Dame? Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Is he not from Canada? I can't tell you. I don't know what's
going on. I don't think he's healthy at all. Like, I mean, not to make excuses, but I don't think he was even – I think that they were like, we need someone to catch the football, so we're going to push him back early.
Well, and I saw
– he barely played.
I saw they were bringing him in on, like, third downs and stuff, and the one third down that they brought him in on, it was like – the field looked his way, and he cocked back like he was about to throw a deep ball. Because, you know, that's – if you can't get anything else out of Chase Claypool, you can just play 500 with him and just throw the ball down and hope that he comes up with it. And they didn't even have that today. So,
yeah,
frustrating. I mean, when looking at this game, I can't even really think of someone that I'm like outside of Fields maybe and –
there's no player of the game today.
Yeah.
There's just not.
You know the player of the game is? I'll give it to him.
Quentin Johnson?
Luke Getsy, that cocksucker.
Yeah, like, I mean, looking at Fields' stats, like 7-21 7 sacks.
Abysmal. Brutal. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, one, I don't know how many, like, at least – over half of those sacks were on the O-line. Like,
yeah,
there were a few that were on Fields, but, like, it was rough out there today. And 7-21, I can count 4 drops off the top of my head.
Yeah, and
Pettis had 2, Komet had 1, and I think someone else dropped a ball. Like,
and it was once Tevin went down, Schofield went down, like, people were dropping on that O-line. You lose your arguably your best offensive lineman, and then one of your most veteran presences on that offensive line against a team that we talked about, man. They're just going to pin their ears back and just continue to just send pressure at Justin Fields, and that's what they did. And in the first quarter, like we talked about, 105 yards, but they even talked about it on the broadcast. There was periods of that game where we weren't even considering running it with Fields. And honestly, once we went down 3 touchdowns, Justin Fields should have been ejected from the stadium. Like, he should have literally just, like, too fast, too furious, Tyrese just popped out the front seat of that stadium, get him the fuck out of the game. Because what do you gain? What do you gain from having Justin Fields in a game where you're down 3-4 scores? You know what I'm saying? You have nothing to gain. All I can think of right now as the inner Chicagoan in me is up 11, fourth quarter, Derrick Rose's knee all over the fucking floor. That's all I see when I see Justin Fields at any point even taking meaningful snaps right now in this season. Don't even bring him out next week. We don't need to see him. He beat Vic. I don't think he's going to get to I don't even remember who it was who has the other record, but he's like 150 yards off. After he broke the record, he only had like 40 yards, which I know that's not, you know, that is a decent amount for a quarterback, but he'll break the record at some point else in his career. And if he doesn't break the record, it's because we finally put a fucking line and receivers around him. So more power to us, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think Fields will ever have a chance to break the record again, but I don't think it really matters.
It doesn't matter. Either. He doesn't care.
I think in order to break the record, you need such a bare cupboard that you're working with that you need to run this much, you know, and that's where he's at right now. But I really don't care about the record. You know, I want him to be good for the offseason and not be rehabbing or not be like, I'm at the point where it's like, why is he out there for this game? And I mean, Eberflus admitted in the post game, he said that there were discussions about taking him out at some point today, but they thought that the experience was worth keeping him in. I mean, I question what experience he got from, you know, being chased after for his life and hit a bunch and no one having no one open downfield. Like,
he got the Sam Darnold, Andrew Luck experience. That's what he got. Oh, yeah, that's what he got. That's why Eberflus is like, yo, just keep him in. Coach, he was in the same team that Andrew Luck was a part of. Got him killed.
Was he? I didn't think he was on that
side. I don't know if they were in the same staff, but the same organization, same folks, same bullshit. But, yeah, I'll be the first to admit I fell a little asleep in the fourth quarter. That shit just like I said, once you remove all emotion from it and you remove, like, I want to win this game, which I actually just went back and looked, they have not won a game since October 24th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that a lot's changed. Halloween, Thanksgiving, first snowfall. We're in a whole brand new fucking year at this point. We're in 2023 at this point now, but just a lot, man. Like, and us as Bears fans, we talk about it. We talked about it on the show. Every year since we've had this show, there's been a 5+ game losing streak. We just kind of went on one, lost one, win one, lose one to start the season, and then eventually just bottomed the fuck out after the Patriots game because that was the last game that we won.
Monday night, I mean, you look at the three best non-quarterbacks on this team to start the season: Eddie Jackson, Roquan Smith, Robert Quinn. Right, three best non-quarterbacks. Maybe Darnell Mooney's up there. So maybe if you go up to four, all four guys are gone. You know, like this is a pretty empty cupboard that they're working with. It's about as empty as it gets in the NFL. It was light to start the season. Like, they might have been, I think I said it on here in the preseason, if Fields went down and we were going to have Trevor Siemian starting, this is going to be a one-win team. Like, that's how rough this roster was. And that was before the injuries and before the trades. So after all this, like, it's not an NFL roster that the Bears are working with right now. It's just not.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that. I was watching the Bears social media clip from over the weekend about the college football playoff, and I'm just sitting here and I'm like, who the fuck are these guys? Like, they're just like, okay, that's Fields, that's Herbie. I'm like, that's, you know, such and such. And I'm like, don't know who that is. That's Trent Gill. Should know Trent Gill over other players, but Trent Gill's that fucking dude. It's aggravating. It's fun. And like, it's tough because, you know, we've never really had a season like this where we're, for lack of better terms, tanking. But it just makes you not even know what you fucking want when you tune in on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, at corner, you're starting Josh Blackwell and Jalen Jones, who are both UDFAs.
Can't expect much off dudes that were, you know, signed off the street, essentially.
Yeah. And then, I mean, at receiver, you're talking Equanimous St. Brown was your leading target. Like, a guy who was barely on a roster. It's not a model to win. And I think it's purposely not a model to win. I think this is a number one pick team. That's where we're heading. And like I said before, it's not easy. It's not fun, but that's what they're doing.
I was about to say, Equanimous St. Brown's not even the best St. Brown.
No. Yeah.
So, and he's the older.
Not even close to it.
And he's the fucking older one. So rough and tough stuff for my guy, EQ, but I don't even know where to go. Like, what can we ultimately take away from this game? Like, they had two drives all game, both like the first and second drive of the game. And then collectively just farted on their nuts for fucking 2.5 hours. And it's No, it's literally what they fucking did, dude. They didn't. I don't like. They barely crossed the 50, bro. They didn't even hit the over. I took their team total, and they had 10 points on two drives, and I took them to, like, I've just been hammering them every week since they always score on their first drive for exact result touchdown on that drive, and I hit that on the first drive, and I'm like, dude, offense looked good, Komet looked good, I looked good for saying Komet was going to look good, and then just nothing else happened for 3 hours to the point where I'm just like face down on the couch. I got like four messages from you, like, where's B-Don? And I'm like, oh shit, we got a show to do. So,
yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to take away from this game other than we're just one game closer to draft coverage and free agency coverage. You know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
that's all it is. I mean, maybe, I mean, if you really want to find something, you go look at the all 22 and you go really look closely at Jalen Jones and Josh Blackwell. But like outside of that, I mean, how many guys on this roster right now do you expect to be a contributor next year?
Yeah. Tough sliding, dude.
You need a whole new O-line. You need a whole new D-line. You need at least one linebacker.
Probably.
You need two new wide receivers at least.
I'd say probably one more corner, too.
Yeah.
That's tough sliding, dude. I don't know what the fuck. Ryan Poles hasn't even woken up yet for today. Like, he's just cuddled up in his lakeshore drive home. Like, oh, looks like the Bears got shit pumped again today, honey. It's unfortunate, but.
I mean, I will say this. If this was not a concerted effort from Ryan Poles to be like, we're emptying it and hitting a hard reset button, then I'm concerned. Like, if this is his evaluation of talent and this is where we've ended up, that's concerning. I don't think it is, but I don't know it's not either. You know, I'm like,
well, and that's why too, like, so many people are this way about Ryan Poles, and I am this way about Ryan Poles, and this way is my way where it is. You got to fucking show me, dude. I've been watching the Bears my whole life, and we've never been good in free agency. We've pretty much never really been good at the draft, and we've pretty much really just never been good at football. We have one off season. Yeah, fucking crazy concept, a football team. The oldest football team in the league just doesn't know how to play football or find football players. Wild shit to me. But here we are, 140 years or whatever it is into the Chicago Bears experience, and we're sitting here with a roster that is comprised of Amazon drivers, car insurance agents, and, you know, club bouncers, essentially. So I'm actually starting to get a little frustrated just thinking about it. But it drives home the point that we've talked about, man. Between the stadium, between the roster construction, between all of it, this is like one of the most pivotal points in this franchise's history to figure it the fuck out and get it right. Because you have the quarterback for the first time pretty much ever, and there's some guy in our – fucking comments every week on Bears on Tap talking about Sid Luckman. Sid Luckman was great. Sid Luckman would get his fucking shit smoked in today's NFL. I don't care. Okay. It's not, it doesn't transfer over from leather helmets and option pitches to spread offenses in West Coast. It's just not, it doesn't work. The athletes are different. Justin Fields is already the best quarterback to ever strap up a helmet for the Chicago Bears. And he can't even fucking throw the ball right now. If you put Justin Fields in the 1930s, we're talking about him. He's already got a statue. It's already there. So, sorry, Sid Luckman guy. And then, two, Peter Bukowski. Go fuck yourself, okay? Pat Kaminsky put it correctly in the comments underneath his post earlier today because he was going at, I think, a lot, who's the nicest fucking kid in the world. Packer fans don't even like you, dude. Like, at least no matter what we say and no matter what we do as Bears fans and as part of Bears on Tap, you're always going to have You're always going to have internet trolls that are saying shit about the content that you're putting out. But at the end of the day, like, I can't sit here and say Bears fans objectively hate us. Like, we haven't done anything to make people hate us. And Can't say the same for you, Mr. Bukowski. And I hope the Vikings win, but from what I saw, it's not looking good in that aspect. But, yeah, Fields did what he could do with what he had. And you could see it on the sideline where he was getting worked on by the trainers every single time he came off. Like, he was taking a beating out there today. You can only get so much out of a team that is severely handicapped in many aspects of the team. And then on top of that, handicapped in a play-calling aspect. Luke Getsy, we still really don't even know who he is. And there's no real opportunity for him to show that in the last week of the season. There hasn't really been opportunities for him to show that for the last few weeks because the game's really – we've just been getting crushed. And – it's just a very, very weird time, man. Because at least, like, going into last season, we knew, like, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were going to empty the bucket to try and save their jobs. There's a cushion here. I like Eberflus for about 15 minutes today. I actually forgot he was our head coach until they panned over to him on the sideline because they just stopped. They didn't talk about him or anything during the broadcast. They talked about, what was it, your Portsmouth, the
Portsmouth Spartans.
The Portsmouth Spartans. They talked about a little bit of our nostalgia, our old football games. But, yeah, dude, an identity-less team, a team that is going to get flipped over again in the offseason. It's going to hopefully get flipped over to the playoff team that we all want them to be. But
if we want to, like, talk about the broadcast, like, usually when teams are doing bad, the broadcast points out why, right? That they'll point to what's happening with the scheme or what's happening with the player errors or whatever. But you didn't see that today because no one wants to sit there and pile on a team that just doesn't have the talent to compete. And that's what we're watching. That's why we don't see explanations during the broadcast. That's why we don't, because they don't want to pile on a guy who belongs on the practice squad that's starting out there. You know, I mean, I respect them for it. I wouldn't want to either, you know, but like that's where the Bears are right now.
It's tough too because, I mean, it's different than college, right? Because the college are kids still. NFL is a little bit different. But even then, it's like, to a certain extent, like the broadcast isn't about, like, damn, this guy fucking sucks. Like, this guy can't do this right, or that guy can't do that right. But somehow the Bears always end up on the wrong end of, you know, whichever way the broadcast wants to spew their BS. But this team, man, like, I can't wait to root on a bunch of these guys in the XFL and the USFL when they come back this year because, like, let's be real. We'll do it at the end of the season, and we'll sit here and we'll just effectively cut everyone. We'll hand everyone their pink slips after the end because we'll run out of stuff to talk about after we tell you everything you need to know about Jalen Carter and Quentin Johnson and Will Anderson and all that. But
you're like 30 new players next year.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's a three-man roster.
Like, we're talking about a team where we might only have 15 of the same guys next year back.
Yeah.
So not much you can expect from them. Yeah, no real players of the game. I liked early on, like I said, I liked what I saw out of Cole Kmet. And you think, too, you give him a touchdown on the first drive, you'd get him more than two catches for 27 yards and a touchdown. But we don't because we're just not good.
Well, it's because you can't pass. You can't protect. You can't protect the passer at all. You can't separate quickly. So you need time in the pocket to get separation. And that's just something the Bears can't afford. Like, you know, anyone can separate when you're giving the quarterback 4 or 5 seconds, right? It's like
Hutchinson was
general rule. You should be able to separate when you have time, but you don't have time. So you need guys who can separate quickly, which they don't have. And it's just like this constant circle of suck around that.
It's the circle of suck.
Yeah. Can't separate. So we need better protection. Can't protect. So we need people to separate quickly. Can't do that again. Screw it. Let's just run the football.
And then on top of all that, I mean, I keep saying this, like, take 11 dudes off on tap Sportsnet, right? Build an offense with it. We're scoring 28 points on the base. I don't care. Like, don't care what position I have to play. It could be left out. Doesn't matter. Find 11 of the most random dudes from on tap Sportsnet right now. They will score 28 points in a full 4-quarter game. Bengals.
I don't know if I back that statement up.
That's why, listen, that's why I said it, okay? But they're just, yeah, dude. They called them. They called them a fucking
hospital after the first snap. So
they called them like a. They said it looks like a rec league team, bro. Like that's one thing I did catch from the broadcast that they did say that was kind of like, okay, I get that. They said they are reminiscent of like a rec league team, really, and that's. I mean, it looked pedestrian, bro. Like,
yeah,
we're beating a dead horse. We talk about the broadcast. You know, we don't want to beat the dead horse and talk about. This guy can't do that, that guy can't do this. But we're sitting here a half hour in, and it's just like that might have been the ugliest Bears game for sure that we've watched all season. But I can't remember a game that ugly. Maybe the last one would have been like that Packers Sunday night. And that was even worse. They got killed that
game. Yeah. I mean, we're hitting levels of ineptitude with this team right now that we haven't seen since like – God, I don't even know. Probably the – because it's not – the thing is, it's not just, like, guys not performing, you know? It's talent. And, like, so in 2014 with Trestman, they had some disgusting games. But they had talent, and guys weren't performing. This is different. This is just simply lacking the talent. And I don't I have a hard time. Like, I mean, maybe under John Fox in 2016 when they had all those injuries and you had like Matt Barkley playing quarterback and like, but even that I felt like was a little bit more competitive than today was. I'm sure there was a game in there that was like this, but it was probably against a really good team too. And Detroit's an okay team, you know, but they're not a really good team.
No,
like man. 2017, Mitch's rookie year against the Eagles is the closest game that I can remember, or last year against the Bucks. But again, both those are rookie quarterbacks going up against Super Bowl contenders. It's a little different than playing the 7-8 Lions, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sitting here trying to imagine we played someone else week one and we played the 49ers at any point in the last 2 months instead. Could you imagine that game?
No.
So, we
speaking of the 49ers, I have a new take that Brock Purdy is just 2005 Kyle Orton with Kyle Shanahan calling plays.
I think I saw that the other day. Yeah, I think I did. Dude, Mr. Irrelevant, and he's out there. Yeah. Listen, if there was ever a statement that was more true about like Jimmy G being a system guy. Seeing Brock Purdy go in and just instantly outperform fucking Jimmy G proves that he's a system guy with a chiseled ass jawline who likes to hang out with porn stars. But and he's also an Illinois guy, so we'll always root for him. But yeah, dude, I always say this like jokingly, like after I lose a bet, right? It's like it's the friends we made along the way, right? Like I can't name too many friends that we made along the way this season. And I did not have a lot of fun. Patriots game, very fun. 49ers game, chaotic, fun. Texans game, pretty damn fun. But other than that, it's the second half of the second Packers game last year after Matt Nagy said he was having fun. It's just like you're on a roller coaster. You've had to puke since the first bump, but you're stuck. You're locked in. You can't get off. You're just puking all over your shit. There's no bag anywhere. You're just puking all over the people next to you. And we're just trying to get to May to where we are undoubtedly trading our first pick. Undoubtedly. Yeah. Like that, if there's one
thing. Get number one overall, move back.
Yeah. If there's one thing that I gathered from yesterday is that we are trading back.
Yeah. Like you look at it. I mean, you have your Paris Johnson. Your Quint at left tackle, your Quentin Johnston at wide receiver, Jackson Smith and Jigba at wide receiver, Will Anderson at edge, Jalen Carter at interior D line. I mean, you can keep going. There's names that are like, okay. Yeah, I mean, there are probably six or seven guys that would be comfortable with the Bears getting in the first round this year. Yeah. And like that leaves a lot of room to trade down. And you're talking about a lot of teams. Who are going to be wanting one of those top two quarterbacks right behind us. You might not even have to trade that far and you can still get the guy at the top of your board or second on your board.
instead of like earlier when you were saying like out, just dog.
Yeah.
Like that video, dog.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking straight into like a ring.
Tyree right Wilson's now. The other guy I was thinking of. Texas Tyree Tech. Wilson. That's another dog. Like,
yeah. I'm looking like straight down the barrel of this ring light that I use to give me better light because I live in an awful apartment and it still doesn't even give me good lighting. But I can see the light of the at the end of the tunnel, and that light is 6 catches for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns in the college football playoff. I want Quentin Johnson and another player in the first round as well. But you also have to remember too, free agency, right? Like, this is a team that we said it earlier in the week on the pregame show, if done right, could be a goddamn fantasy football team next year. If done wrong, we're sitting here again in December. We both look like Tom Hanks in Castaway because we haven't won a football game in like 3 years. And we're just like, Will Sound, yeah. Give me a dub, please.
Yeah. Speaking of free agency, like Javon Hargrave, defensive tackle from Philly, be a really nice fit.
Yeah.
You know, Deron Payne, defensive tackle out of Washington, be a really nice nose tackle in this scheme.
And they're probably going to be looking to shake that roster up because they're not going to get it done this year, and they're pretty damn close.
Mike McGlinchey, right tackle out in San Fran, similar offensive scheme to what the Bears are probably trying to run, be a decent fit. He's not a world beater, but he's a hell of a lot better than what you got out there right now. Draymond Jones, defensive tackle out of Denver, only 26 years old. I think this guy's a really good player. I mean, the list just goes on. Jamel Dean, you can sign him as a corner. Really lock down that secondary. Jacoby Myers,
he's got family in Chicago too. Jamel,
does he?
He's got one of the kids that I played semi-pro ball with is his cousin. So
okay.
If you got family out here, you know, we might see you.
Tony Pollard. Maybe he gets out of Dallas. Maybe the Bears are saying, they're sitting here saying, we got to burn $130 million this offseason. Maybe they say, we want that explosive factor that Pollard brings.
Yeah.
Zach Allen, interior D lineman. I mean, only 26 years old. Marcus Davenport on the edge, only 26. Had some injury history, but he's flashed a lot as a player. Again, a hell of a lot better than what you got right now.
Only 26. Only 26. Valus, that fucking senior citizen.
Yeah. There's a lot of names out there in free agency. Like, I think if you're the Bears, you're not targeting a specific position in free agency. So you have the draft after free agency, right? But you're targeting the best players available in free agency because you need everything. You know, you need any position that you can find. So you target the best players. And that it almost like free agency is a crapshoot, right? Because you're sitting there saying, we need a receiver. This guy's the best receiver. We're getting him. But when you're saying we need everything,
can't get the best of everything. A little. Yeah.
Like, because you can be a bit, you could just go after the best players that are out there, not the best players that you need, you know, because you need everything. It opens up that pool of saying, here's how we'll attack free agency. Then we'll try to fill the gaps with the draft, you know, like, and that's, it's almost a plus when you're looking at it that way. If the holes were just like receiver, you're kind of screwed because Jacoby Myers is the best one. He's a good receiver, but he's going to get paid a lot of money to be paid at that caliber of player that he's probably not at, you know?
Yeah. And he was also involved in one of the weirdest plays in NFL history. So we just don't need that on our team, but yeah, I mean, do you have, we won't do players of the game because we'll be labeled as like too soft, like just give a trophy to everyone for whatever reason. Like, all right, I understand, but do you have final wrap up thoughts on this game? Because it's an absolute stinker, 41-10, 2 games away from the tank being over. Like, what can you take away from this game?
1 week closer, number one overall. I mean, that's really all it is at this point. Unless someone starts flashing big time, like, I don't know why else we're here other than just waiting for the draft pick.
Yeah. Nick Foles actually got killed today, too. I don't know if you saw that, but
I didn't see the play. I heard about it, though. Yeah.
Me being a bad person until I realized how severely injured Nick Foles was, I actually laughed because Kayvon Thibodeau made the play and he just starts doing snow angels like next to a clearly like dead Nick Foles. I was like laughing at the snow angels because I'm like, oh,
yeah,
good celebration, no snow. I was at the Mitch game too when Mitch did the snow angels with the receiver. So I'll always respect that. But then I'm just like, wait, Nick Foles is like legitimately next to a field.
So yeah, I guess was... I saw a bunch of people in arms over that, but like, so I didn't see the hit as much as like when I saw the highlight. I just saw him doing the snow angels, and it was like, I don't even think he saw Foles. Like, I don't think he looked over at him. He was just like, so like I can't get out of the guy too much for, because like he did. I don't think he knew, but like,
listen,
it just seems like a weird thing to be so up in arms over to me. Oh, like, the guy was just celebrating his sack. He didn't like, he wasn't thinking about the well-being of the quarterback when he was sacking him. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't think most guys would.
You ever remember like how your dad would sound when he would like stub his toe or like, you know, bang his funny bone or
something?
Yeah. Oh, don't, like Homer Simpson. Like that's what I imagine Nick Foles probably sounded like oh, like on the sideline, you could just hear him like screaming in pain. And you got Kayvon Thibodeau just like swimming snow angels on the sideline. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. I think their backup's Ellinger, so we need Sam Ellinger to turn into whatever the hell he can against them next week and find a way to win the game. But
who knows? We want the Colts to lose.
Oh, it's the Colts. I thought it was the – oh.
We want the Texans to
win.
You're
right. We want the Texans to win. Okay. That's even better that Sam Ellinger's playing and not Nick Foles now that I think about it. But, yeah, dude. We're not beating the Vikings next week. We'll be back Wednesday to tell you how and why we're not.
Just threw one of the most disgusting interceptions I've seen all day.
Again, his second one of the day.
Yeah, that was awful. I don't know the context behind it. Maybe it was like just an arm punt.
The Packers are totally.
No, it was in Packers territory. That was just the receiver fell down, and it was just like the DB's like, thank you.
It was just like, I put tin foil over my steak.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Or Hasselbeck. Yeah. We want the ball and we're going to score.
Oh, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Boom. Kirk Cousins. Well, shit. No matter what happens, we'll be back with you guys middle of the week, Wednesday or Thursday. We've kind of been switching days the last few weeks on you, but we'll keep you posted about that. One final pregame. Long considered dead and gone in the playoff hunt, been eliminated for about a month now. But we have one more football game. We're playing against a Vikings team that right now probably will have a lot to play for next week. So
they can get the number one seed after the Eagles losing today.
Yeah, my way too early look ahead is scoreline's probably going to be something similar to what we saw today. Maybe not as bad because the Vikings, weird as it sounds, are playing worse football than the Lions right now, if that makes sense, despite their record. Like, they haven't been playing good football over the last few
weeks. Right now, they are getting pumped by the Packers. So, like, I think that when teams kind of go on that lull of, like, they're still winning but they're not playing good, they need that just like getting crushed before they just get back on. Like, that's how they get back on the wagon after getting crushed. Like,
they need to play today, Wofford.
I think they're going to have a get right game with the Bears.
Yeah, they need to play Wofford in Western Carolina, and that's who the Bears are.
Right? Yeah.
Wofford in Western Carolina and their Bama. But yeah, regardless of result, you know, we'll always be here to talk about it. But yeah, this one was especially tough. But we'll be back with you guys in the middle of the week to get you guys ready for one final game. And then obviously we'll be back with you guys for a second time next week on Sunday to recap the final loss of the Tankathon. It'll finally be 60 more minutes, like we talked about last week on the show. 121 minutes of football, 60 more minutes, and then we can put this Chicago Bears season behind us. Start getting ready for next season and the future of this franchise. But other than that, follow my co-host Quinn at Butkus Stats. You can follow me at BDown300, and you can follow our main account at Bears on Tap. The Bears lose this one at Ford Field, 41-10, in embarrassing fashion. We are on to Minnesota. I don't even know where the draft is this year, but we are on to wherever that is. Appreciate you all for tuning in, and bear down.
Bear down.
Yeah, where?